The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. Continued. Hailandfire.com. Then said Christian to the porter, "Sir, what house is this? And may I lodge here tonight?" The porter answered, "This house was built by the Lord of the Hill, and he built it for the relief and security of pilgrims." The porter also asked whence he was, and whither he was going. Christian: "I am come from the city of destruction, and am going to Mount Zion. But because the sun is now set, I desire, if I may, to lodge here tonight." Porter: "What is your name?" Christian: "My name is now Christian, but my name at the first was Graceless. I came of the race of Japheth, whom God will persuade to dwell in the tents of Shem." Porter: "But how doth it happen that you come so late? The sun is set." Christian: "I had been here sooner, but that, wretched man that I am, I slept in the arbor that stands on the hillside. Nay, I had, notwithstanding that, been here much sooner, but that, in my sleep, I lost my evidence, and came without it to the brow of the hill, and then feeling for it, and finding it not, I was forced with sorrow of heart, to go back to the place where I slept my sleep, where I found it, and now I am come." Porter: "Well, I will call out one of the virgins of this place, who will, if she likes your talk, bring you into the rest of the family, according to the rules of the house." So watchful, the porter rang a bell, at the sound of which came out at the door of the house a grave and beautiful damsel, named Discretion, and asked why she was called. The porter answered, "This man is in a journey from the city of destruction to Mount Zion, but being weary and benighted, he asked me if he might lodge here tonight. So I told him I would call for thee, who, after discoursed with him, mayst do as seemeth thee good, even according to the law of the house." Then she asked him whence he was, and whither he was going, and he told her. She asked him also how he got into the way, and he told her. Then she asked him what he had seen and met with in the way, and he told her. And last she asked his name. So he said, "It is Christian, and I have so much the more a desire to lodge here tonight, because, by what I perceive, this place was built by the Lord of the Hill for the relief and security of pilgrims." So she smiled, but the water stood in her eyes. And after a little pause, she said, "I will call forth two or three more of the family." So she ran to the door, and called out Prudence, Piety, and Charity, who, after a little more discourse with him, had him into the family. And many of them, meeting him at the threshold of the house, said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. This house was built by the Lord of the Hill, on purpose to entertain such pilgrims in." Then he bowed his head, and followed them into the house. So when he was come in and sat down, they gave him something to drink, and consented together, that until supper was ready, some of them should have some particular discourse with Christian, for the best improvement of time. And they appointed Piety, and Prudence, and Charity to discourse with him. And thus they began, Piety: "Come, good Christian, since we have been so loving to you, to receive you in our house this night, let us, if perhaps we may better ourselves thereby, talk with you of all things that have happened to you in your pilgrimage." Christian: "With a very good will, and I am glad that you are so well disposed." Piety: "What moved you at first to betake yourself to a pilgrim's life?" Christian: "I was driven out of my native country by a dreadful sound that was in mine ears, to wit, that unavoidable destruction did attend me, if I abode in that place where I was." Piety: "But how did it happen that you came out of your country this way?" Christian: "It was as God would have it. For when I was under the fears of destruction, I did not know whither to go. But by chance there came a man, even to me, as I was trembling and weeping, whose name is Evangelist, and he directed me to the wicket gate, which else I should never have found, and so set me into the way that hath led me directly to this house." Piety: "But did you not come by the house of the interpreter?" Christian: "Yes, and did see such things there, the remembrance of which will stick by me as long as I live. Especially three things, to wit, how Christ, in despite of Satan, maintains his work of grace in the heart. How the man had sinned himself quite out of hopes of God's mercy. And also the dream of him that thought in his sleep the day of judgment was come. Piety. Why, did you hear him tell his dream? Christian. Yes, and a dreadful one it was. I thought it made my heart ache as he was telling of it. But yet I am glad I heard it. Piety. Was that all that you saw at the house of the interpreter? Christian. No. He took me and led me where he showed me a stately palace, and how the people were clad in gold that were in it. And how there came a venturous man and cut his way through the armed men that stood in the door to keep him out, and how he was bid to come in, and win eternal glory. Methought those things did ravish my heart. I would have stayed at that good man's house a twelvemonth, but that I knew I had further to go. Piety. And what saw you else in the way? Christian. Saw. Why, I went but a little further, and I saw one, as I thought in my mind, hand bleeding upon the tree. And the very sight of him made my burden fall off my back, for I groaned under a very heavy burden, but then it fell down from off me. It was a strange thing to me, for I never saw such a thing before. Yea, and while I stood looking up, for then I could not forbear looking, three shining ones came to me. One of them testified that my sins were forgiven me. Another stripped me of my rags, and gave me this broidered coat which you see. And the third set the mark which you see in my forehead, and gave me this sealed roll. And with that he plucked it out of his bosom. Piety. But you saw more than this, did you not? Christian. The things that I have told you were the best. Yet some other matters I saw, as, namely, I saw three men, Simple, Sloth, and Presumption, lie asleep a little out of the way, as I came, with irons upon their heels. But do you think I could awake them? I also saw Formality and Hypocrisy come tumbling over the wall, to go, as they pretended, to Zion, but they were quickly lost, even as I myself did tell them. But they would not believe. But above all, I found it hard work to get up this hill, and as hard to come by the lions' mouths, and truly if it had not been for the good man, the porter that stands at the gate, I do not know but that after all I might have gone back again. But now I thank God I'm here, and I thank you for receiving of me. Then Prudence thought good to ask him a few questions, and desired his answer to them. Prudence. Do you not think sometimes of the country from whence you came? Christian's thoughts of his native country. Christian. Yes, but with much shame and detestation, truly, if I had been mindful of the country from whence I came out, I might have had opportunity to have returned. But now I desire a better country, that is, and heavenly. Prudence. Do you not yet bear away with you some of the things that then you were conversant withal? Christian. Yes, but greatly against my will. Especially my inward and carnal cogitations, with which all my countrymen, as well as myself, were delighted. But now all those things are my grief. And might I but choose mine own things, Christian's choice. I would choose never to think of those things more. But when I would be doing of that which is best, that which is worst is with me. Prudence. Do you not find sometimes, as if those things were vanquished, which at other times are your perplexity? Christian's golden hours. Christian. Yes, but that is seldom. But they are to me golden hours in which such things happen to me. Prudence. Can you remember by what means you find your annoyances, at times, as if they were vanquished? Christian. Yes, when I think what I saw at the cross, that will do it. And when I look upon my broidered coat, that will do it. Also when I look into the roll that I carry in my bosom, that will do it. And when my thoughts wax warm about whither I am going, that will do it. Prudence. And what is it that makes you so desirous to go to Mount Zion? Christian. Why, there I hope to see him alive that did hang dead on the cross. and there I hope to be rid of all those things that to this day are in me an annoyance to me. There, they say, there is no death, and there I shall dwell with such company as I like best. For, to tell you truth, I love him, because I was by him eased of my burden, and I am weary of my inward sickness. I would fain be where I shall die no more, and with the company that shall continually cry, Holy, Holy, Holy. Then said Charity to Christian, Have you a family? Are you a married man? Christian. I have a wife and 4 small children. Charity. And why did you not bring them along with you? Christian's love to his wife and children. Christian. Then Christian wept, and said, Oh, how willingly would I have done it! But they were all of them utterly averse to my going on pilgrimage. Charity. But you should have talked to them, and have endeavored to have shown them the danger of being behind. Christian. So I did, and told them also of what God had shown to me of the destruction of our city. But I seemed to them as one that mocked, and they believed me not. Charity. And did you pray to God that he would bless your counsel to them? Christian. Yes, and that with much affection, for you must think that my wife and poor children were very dear unto me. Charity. But did you tell them of your own sorrow, and fear of destruction? For I supposed that destruction was visible enough to you. Christian's fears of perishing might be read in his very countenance. Christian. Yes, over, and over, and over. They might also see my fears in my countenance, in my tears, and also in my trembling under the apprehension of the judgment that did hang over our heads. But all was not sufficient to prevail with them to come with me. Charity. But what could they say for themselves, why they came not? Christian. Why, my wife was afraid of losing this world, and my children were given to the foolish delights of youth, so what by one thing, and what by another, they left me to wander in this manner alone. Charity. But did you not, with your vain life, damp all that you by words used by way of persuasion to bring them away with you? Christian's good conversation before his wife and children. Christian. Indeed, I cannot commend my life, for I am conscious to myself of many failings therein. I know also that a man by his conversation may soon overthrow what by argument or persuasion he doth labor to fasten upon others for their good. Yet this I can say, I was very wary of giving them occasion, by any unseemly action, to make them averse to going on pilgrimage. Yea, for this very thing they would tell me I was too precise, and that I denied myself of things, for their sakes, in which they saw no evil. Nay, I think I may say, that if what they saw in me did hinder them, it was my great tenderness in sinning against God, or of doing any wrong to my neighbor. Charity. Indeed Cain hated his brother, because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. And if thy wife and children have been offended with thee for this, they thereby show themselves to be implacable to good, and thou hast delivered thy soul from their blood. Now I saw in my dream, that thus they sat talking together until supper was ready. So when they had made ready, they sat down to meat. Now the table was furnished with fat things, and with wine that was well refined, and all their talk at the table was about the Lord of the Hill, as, namely, about what he had done, and wherefore he did what he did, and why he had builded that house. And by what they said, I perceived that he had been a great warrior, and had fought with and slain him that had the power of death, but not without great danger to himself, which made me love him the more. For, as they said, and as I believe, said Christian, he did it with the loss of much blood. But that which put glory of grace into all he did, was, that he did it out of pure love to his country. And besides, there were some of them of the household that said they had been and spoke with him since he did die on the cross. And they have attested that they had it from his own lips, that he is such a lover of poor pilgrims, that the like is not to be found from the east to the west. They, moreover, gave an instance of what they affirmed, and that was, he had stripped himself of his glory, that he might do this for the poor. And that they heard him say and affirm, that he would not dwell in the mountain of Zion alone. They said, moreover, that he had made many pilgrims princes, though by nature they were beggars born, and their original had been the dunghill. Christian's chamber. Thus they discoursed together till late at night. And after they had committed themselves to their Lord for protection, they betook themselves to rest. The pilgrim they laid in a large upper chamber, whose window opened towards the sun rising. The name of the chamber was Peace, where he slept till break of day, and then he awoke and sang. Where am I now? Is this the love and care of Jesus for the men that pilgrims are? Thus to provide, that I should be forgiven, and well already the next door to heaven. So in the morning they all got up, and, after some more discourse, they told him that he should not depart till they had shown him the rarities of that place. And first they had him into the study, where they showed him records of the greatest antiquity, in which, as I remember my dream, they showed him first the pedigree of the Lord of the Hill, that he was the son of the Ancient of Days, and came by that eternal generation. Here also was more fully recorded the acts that he had done, and the names of many hundreds that he had taken into his service, and how he had placed them in such habitations that could neither by length of days, nor decays of nature, be dissolved. Then they read to him some of the worthy acts that some of his servants had done, as, how they had subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. They then read again, in another part of the records of the house, where it was showed how willing their Lord was to receive into his favor any, even any, though they in time past had offered great affronts to his person and proceedings. Here also were several other histories of many other famous things, of all which Christian had a view, as of things both ancient and modern, together with prophecies and predictions of things that have their certain accomplishment, both to the dread and amazement of enemies, and the comfort and solace of pilgrims. The next day they took him and had him into the armory, where they showed him all manner of furniture, which their Lord had provided for pilgrims, as sword, shield, helmet, breastplate, all prayer, and shoes that would not wear out. And there was here enough of this to harness out as many men for the service of their Lord as there be stars in the heaven for multitude. They also showed him some of the engines with which some of his servants had done wonderful things. They showed him Moses' rod, the hammer and nail with which Jael slew Sisera, the pitchers, trumpets, and lamps too, with which Gideon put to flight the armies of Midian. Then they showed him the ox's goad wherewith Shamgar slew 600 men. They showed him also the jawbone with which Samson did such mighty feats. They showed him, moreover, the sling and stone with which David slew Goliath of Gath, and the sword, also, with which their Lord will kill the man of sin, in the day that he shall rise up to the prey. They showed him, besides, many excellent things, with which Christian was much delighted. This done, they went to their rests again. Then I saw in my dream, that on the morrow he got up to go forward. But they desired him to stay till the next day also. And then, said they, we will, if the day be clear, show you the Delectable Mountains, which, they said, would yet further add to his comfort, because they were nearer the desired haven than the place where at present he was. So he consented and stayed. When the morning was up, they had him to the top of the house, and bid him look south. So he did, and behold, at a great distance, he saw a most pleasant mountainous country, beautified with woods, vineyards, fruits of all sorts, flowers also, with springs and fountains, very delectable to behold. Then he asked the name of the country. They said it was Emmanuel's land. And it is as common, said they, as this hill is, to and for all the pilgrims. And when thou comest there from thence, said they, thou mayst see to the gate of the celestial city, as the shepherds that live there will make appear. Now he bethought himself of setting forward, and they were willing he should. But first, said they, let us go again into the armory, So they did. And when they came there, they harnessed him from head to foot with what was of proof, lest, perhaps, he should meet with assaults in the way. He being, therefore, thus accoutred, walketh out with his friends to the gate, and there he asked the porter if he saw any pilgrims pass by. Then the porter answered, Yes. Christian. Pray, did you know him? Said he. Porter. I asked him his name, and he told me it was Faithful. Christian. Oh, said Christian, I know him. He is my townsman, my near neighbor. He comes from the place where I was born. How far do you think he may be before? Porter. He is got by this time below the hill. Christian. Well, said Christian, good porter, the Lord be with thee, and add to all thy blessings much increase, for the kindness that thou hast showed to me. Then he began to go forward. But discretion, piety, charity, and prudence would accompany him down to the foot of the hill. So they went on together, reiterating their former discourses, till they came to go down the hill. Then said Christian, as it was difficult coming up, so far as I can see, it is dangerous going down. Yes, said Prudence, so it is, for it is a hard matter for a man to go down into the valley of humiliation, as thou art now, and to catch no slip by the way. Therefore, said they, are we come out to accompany thee down the hill? So he began to go down, but very warily. Yet he caught a slip or two. Then I saw in my dream that these good companions, when Christian was gone to the bottom of the hill, gave him a loaf of bread, a bottle of wine, and a cluster of raisins. And then he went on his way. But now, in this valley of humiliation, poor Christian was hard put to it. For he had gone but a little way, before he espied a foul fiend coming over the field to meet him. His name is Apollin. Then did Christian begin to be afraid, and to cast in his mind whether to go back or to stand his ground. But he considered again that he had no armor for his back, and therefore thought that to turn the back to him might give him the greater advantage with ease to pierce him with his darts. Christian's resolution at the approach of Apollin. Therefore he resolved to venture and stand his ground. For, thought he, had I no more in mine eye than the saving of my life, it would be the best way to stand. So he went on, and Apollin met him. Now the monster was hideous to behold. He was clothed with scales, like a fish, and they are his pride. He had wings like a dragon, feet like a bear, and out of his belly came fire and smoke, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion. When he was come up to Christian, he beheld him with a disdainful countenance, and thus began to question with him. Apollin. Whence come you? And whither are you bound? Christian. I am come from the city of destruction, which is the place of all evil, and am going to the city of Zion. Apollin. By this I perceive thou art one of my subjects, for all that country is mine, and I am the prince and god of it. How is it, then, that thou hast run away from thy king? Were it not that I hope thou mayst do me more service, I would strike thee now, at one blow, to the ground. Christian. I was born, indeed, in your dominions, but your service was hard, and your wages such as a man could not live on, for the wages of sin is death. Therefore, when I was come to years, I did, as other considerate persons do, look out, if, perhaps, I might mend myself. Apollin's flattery. Apollin. There is no prince that will thus lightly lose his subjects, neither will I as yet lose thee. But since thou complainest of thy service and wages, be content to go back. What our country will afford, I do here promise to give thee. Christian. But I have let myself to another, even to the king of princes. And how can I, with fairness, go back with thee? Apollin. Thou hast done in this, according to the proverb, changed a bad for a worse. But it is ordinary for those that have professed themselves his servants, after a while to give him the slip, and return again to me. Do thou so too, and all shall be well. Christian. I have given him my faith, and sworn my allegiance to him. How, then, can I go back from this, and not be hanged as a traitor? Abelin. Thou didst the same to me, and yet I am willing to pass by all, if now thou wilt yet turn again and go back. Christian. What I promised thee was in my knowledge. And, besides, I count the prince under whose banner now I stand is able to absolve me. Yea, and to pardon also what I did as to my compliance with thee. And besides, O thou destroying Apollin. To speak truth, I like his service, his wages, his servants, his government, his company, and country, better than thine. And, therefore, leave off to persuade me further. I am his servant, and I will follow him. Apollin. Consider, again, when thou art in cool blood, what thou art like to meet with in the way that thou goest. Thou knowest that, for the most part, his servants come to an ill end, because they are transgressors against me and my ways. How many of them have been put to shameful deaths? And, besides, thou countest his service better than mine, whereas he never came yet from the place where he is to deliver any that served him out of their hands. But as for me, how many times, as all the world very well knows, have I delivered, either by power, or fraud, those that have faithfully served me, from him and his, though taken by them. And so I will deliver thee. Christian. His forbearing at present to deliver them is on purpose to try their love, whether they will cleave to him to the end. And as for the ill end thou sayst they come to, that is most glorious in their account. For present deliverance, they do not much expect it, for they stay for their glory. And then they shall have it when their prince comes and he's in the glory of the angels. Apollin. Thou hast already been unfaithful in thy service to him. And how dost thou think to receive wages of him? Christian. Wherein, O Apollin? Have I been unfaithful to him? Apollin. Thou didst faint at first setting out, when thou wast almost choked in the gulf of despond. Thou didst attempt wrong ways to be rid of thy burden, whereas thou shouldst have stayed till thy prince had taken it off. Thou didst sinfully sleep and lose thy choice thing. Thou wast, also, almost persuaded to go back at the sight of the lions. And when thou talkst of thy journey, and of what thou hast heard and seen, thou art inwardly desirous of vain glory in all that thou sayst or dost. Christian. All this is true, and much more which thou hast left out. But the prince whom I serve and honour is merciful, and ready to forgive. But, besides, these infirmities possessed me in thy country, for there I sucked them in. And I have groaned under them, been sorry for them, and have obtained pardon of my prince. Apollin. Then Apollin broke out into a grievous rage, saying, I am an enemy to this prince. I hate his person, his laws, and people. I am come out on purpose to withstand thee. Christian. Apollin, beware what you do. For I am in the king's highway, the way of holiness. Therefore take heed to yourself. Apollin. Then Apollin straddled quite over the whole breadth of the way, and said, I am void of fear in this matter, prepare thyself to die. For I swear by my infernal den, that thou shalt go no further. Here will I spill thy soul. And with that he threw a flaming dart at his breast. But Christian had a shield in his hand, with which he caught it, and so prevented the danger of that. Then did Christian draw, for he saw it was time to bestir him. And Apollin as fast made at him, throwing darts as thick as hail. By the which, notwithstanding all that Christian could do to avoid it, Apollin wounded him in his head, his hand, and foot. This made Christian give a little back. Apollin, therefore, followed his work amain, and Christian again took courage, and resisted as manfully as he could. This sore combat lasted for above half a day, even till Christian was almost quite spent. For you must know that Christian, by reason of his wounds, must needs grow weaker and weaker. Then Apollin, espying his opportunity, began to gather up close to Christian, and wrestling with him, gave him a dreadful fall. And with that Christian's sword flew out of his hand. Then said Apollin, I am sure of thee now. And with that he had almost pressed him to death, so that Christian began to despair of life. But as God would have it, while Apollin was fetching of his last blow, Thereby to make a full end of this good man, Christian nimbly stretched out his hand for his sword, and caught it, saying, Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall I shall arise. Christian's victory over Apollin. And with that gave him a deadly thrust, which made him give back, as one that had received his mortal wound. Christian perceiving that, made at him again, saying, Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And with that Apollin spread forth his dragon's wings, and sped him away, that Christian for a season saw him no more. In this combat no man can imagine, unless he had seen and heard as I did, what yelling and hideous roaring Apollin made all the time of the fight. He spake like a dragon. And, on the other side, what sighs and groans burst from Christian's heart. I never saw him all the while give so much as one pleasant look, till he perceived he had wounded Apollin with his two-edged sword. Then, indeed, he did smile, and look upward. But it was the dreadfullest sight that ever I saw. A more unequal match can hardly be. Christian must fight an angel. But you see, the valiant man by handling sword and shield, doth make him, though a dragon, quit the field. So when the battle was over, Christian said, I will here give thanks to him that delivered me out of the mouth of the lion, to him that did help me against Apollin. And so he did, saying, Great Beelzebub, the captain of this fiend, designed my ruin. Therefore to this end he sent him harnessed out, and he with rage that hellish was, did fiercely me engage. But blessed Michael helped me, and I, by dint of sword, did quickly make him fly. Therefore to him let me give lasting praise, and thank and bless his holy name always. Then there came to him a hand, with some of the leaves of the tree of life, the which Christian took, and applied to the wounds that he had received in the battle, and was healed immediately. He also sat down in that place to eat bread, and to drink of the bottle that was given him a little before. So, being refreshed, he addressed himself to his journey, with his sword drawn in his hand. For he said, I know not but some other enemy may be at hand. But he met with no other affront from Apollin quite through this valley. Now, at the end of this valley was another, called the Valley of the Shadow of Death, and Christian must needs go through it, because the way to the celestial city lay through the midst of it. Now, this valley is a very solitary place. The prophet Jeremiah thus describes it, a wilderness, a land of deserts and of pits, a land of drought, and of the shadow of death, a land that no man, but a Christian, passed through, and where no man dwelt. Now here Christian was worse put to it than in his fight with Apollin, as by the sequel you shall see. I saw then in my dream, that when Christian was got to the borders of the shadow of death, there met him two men, children of them that brought up an evil report of the good land, making haste to go back. To whom Christian spake as follows. Christian. Whither are you going? Men. They said, back. Back. And we would have you to do so too, if either life or peace is prized by you. Christian. Why, what's the matter? Said Christian. Men. Matter. Said they. We were going that way as you are going, and went as far as we durst. And indeed we were almost past coming back. For had we gone a little further, we had not been here to bring the news to thee. Christian. But what have you met with? Said Christian. Men. Why, we were almost in the valley of the shadow of death. But that, by good hap, we looked before us, and saw the danger before we came to it. Christian. But what have you seen? Said Christian. Men. Seen. Why, the valley itself, which is as dark as pitch. We also saw there the hobgoblins, satyrs, and dragons of the pit. We heard also in that valley a continual howling and yelling, as of a people under unutterable misery, who there sat bound in affliction and irons. And over that valley hangs the discouraging clouds of confusion. Death also doth always spread his wings over it. In a word, it is every whit dreadful, being utterly without order. Christian. Then, said Christian, I perceive not yet, by what you have said, but that this is my way to the desired haven. Men, be it thy way. We will not choose it for ours. So, they parted, and Christian went on his way, but still with his sword drawn in his hand, for fear lest he should be assaulted. I saw then in my dream, so far as this valley reached, there was on the right hand a very deep ditch. That ditch is it into which the blind have led the blind in all ages, and have both there miserably perished. Again, behold, on the left hand, there was a very dangerous quag, into which, if even a good man falls, he can find no bottom for his foot to stand on. Into that quag King David once did fall, and had no doubt therein been smothered, had not he that as able plucked him out. The pathway was here also exceeding narrow, and therefore good Christian was the more put to it. For when he sought, in the dark, to shun the ditch on the one hand, he was ready to tip over into the mire on the other. Also when he sought to escape the mire, without great carefulness he would be ready to fall into the ditch. Thus he went on, and I heard him here sigh bitterly. For, besides the dangers mentioned above, the pathway was here so dark, and oft times, when he lift up his foot to set forward, he knew not where or upon what he should set it next. Poor man! Where art thou now? Thy day is night. Good man, be not cast down, thou yet art right, thy way to heaven lies by the gates of hell. Cheer up, hold out, with thee it shall go well. About the midst of this valley, I perceived the mouth of hell to be, and it stood also hard by the wayside. Now, thought Christian, what shall I do? And ever and anon the flame and smoke would come out in such abundance, with sparks and hideous noises, things that cared not for Christian's sword, as did Apolline before, that he was forced to put up his sword, and betake himself to another weapon called all prayer. So he cried in my hearing, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Thus he went on a great while, yet still the flames would be reaching towards him. Also he heard doleful voices, and rushings to and fro, so that sometimes he thought he should be torn in pieces, or trodden down like mire in the streets. This frightful sight was seen, and these dreadful noises were heard by him for several miles together. And, coming to a place where he thought he heard a company of fiends coming forward to meet him, he stopped, and began to muse what he had best to do. Sometimes he had half a thought to go back. Then again he thought he might be halfway through the valley. He remembered also how he had already vanquished many a danger, and that the danger of going back might be much more than for to go forward. So he resolved to go on. Yet the fiends seemed to come nearer and nearer. But when they were come even almost at him, he cried out with a most vehement voice, I will walk in the strength of the Lord God. So they gave back, and came no further. One thing I would not let slip. I took notice that my poor Christian was so confounded, that he did not know his own voice. And thus I perceived it. Just when he was come over against the mouth of the burning pit, one of the wicked ones got behind him, and stepped up softly to him, and springly suggested many grievous blasphemies to him, which he verily thought had proceeded from his own mind. This put Christian more to it than anything that he met with before, even to think that he should now blaspheme him that he loved so much before. Yet, if he could have helped it, he would not have done it. But he had not the discretion either to stop his ears, or to know from whence these blasphemies came. When Christian had travelled in this disconsolate condition some considerable time, he thought he heard the voice of a man, as going before him, saying, Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Then he was glad, and that for these reasons, first, because he gathered from thence, that some who feared God were in this valley as well as himself. Secondly, for that he perceived God was with them, though in that dark and dismal state. And why not, thought he, with me? Though, by reason of the impediment that attends this place, I cannot perceive it. Thirdly, for that he hoped, could he overtake them, to have company by and by. So he went on, and called to him that was before. But he knew not what to answer, for that he also thought to be alone. And by the day broke. Then said Christian, He hath turned the shadow of death into the morning. Now morning being come, he looked back, not out of desire to return, but to see, by the light of the day, what hazards he had gone through in the dark. So he saw more perfectly the ditch that was on the one hand, and the mire that was on the other. Also how narrow the way was which led betwixt them both. Also now he saw the hobgoblins, and satyrs, and dragons of the pit, but all afar off, for after break of day, they came not nigh. Yet they were discovered to him, according to that which is written, He discovereth deep things out of darkness, and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. Now was Christian much affected with his deliverance from all the dangers of his solitary way. Which dangers, though he feared them more before, yet he saw them more clearly now, because the light of the day made them conspicuous to him. And about this time the sun was rising, and this was another mercy to Christian. For you must note, that though the first part of the valley of the shadow of death was dangerous, yet this second part which he was yet to go, was, if possible, far more dangerous. For from the place where he now stood, even to the end of the valley, the way was all along set so full of snares, traps, gins, and nets here, and so full of pits, pitfalls, deep holes, and shelvings down there, that, had it now been dark, as it was when he came the first part of the way, had he heard 1,000 souls, they had in reason been cast away. But, as I said just now, the sun was rising. Then said he, His candle shineth upon my head, and by his light I walk through darkness. In this light, therefore, he came to the end of the valley. Now I saw in my dream, that at the end of this valley lay blood, bones, ashes, and mangled bodies of men, even of pilgrims that had gone this way formerly. And while I was musing what should be the reason, I espied a little before me a cave, where two giants, Pope and Pagan, dwelt in old time, by whose power and tyranny the men whose bones, blood, and ashes, ambus and sea, lay there, were cruelly put to death. But by this place Christian went without much danger, whereat I somewhat wondered. But I have learnt since, that Pagan has been dead many a day. And as for the other, though he be yet alive, he is, by reason of age, and also of the many shrewd brushes that he met with in his younger days, grown so crazy and stiff in his joints, that he can now do little more than sit in his cave's mouth, grinning at pilgrims as they go by, and biting his nails because he cannot come at them. So I saw that Christian went on his way. Yet, at the sight of the old man that sat in the mouth of the cave, he could not tell what to think, especially because he spake to him, though he could not go after him, saying, You will never mend till more of you be bronzed. But he held his peace, and set a good face on it, and so went by and catched no hurt. Then sang Christian, O world of wonders! I can say no less, that I should be preserved in that distress that I have met with here. O blessed be that hand that from it hath delivered me. Dangers in darkness, devils, hell, and sin did compass me, while I this vale was in, yea, snares, and pits, and traps, and nets, did lie my path about, that worthless, silly I might have been catched, entangled, and cast down. But since I live, let Jesus wear the crown.